Amen. The reading, the story from Acts that we read, is Acts 11 is a repeat of Acts 10. If you read Acts 10, you will see the story in just a little bit more detail. And then we read basically the same story in Acts 11 because Peter's telling the story. The interesting thing is if God's word says things more than once, it means that it's important. It's something we need to listen to. Hallelujah. And so this is a very important message that Peter was given. When I was a kid, I always found it a bit strange, this story. I remember hearing this story a few times and always found it a bit maybe difficult to understand. But, yeah, as I was reading it and preparing the message this morning, I was really taken to a new place, I guess. And that's what happens when we read God's word. We might read it today and God might reveal something to us that's different to when we read it in 6 years' time or 6 months' time or whatever. God is always offering us something new, and that's important as we continue to look at this. God is offering us something new, and please don't close your mind to new things and to new ways of doing things, because God wants new things to happen, because that's when growth starts. We can't be sitting, continuing to do the same things over and over again, and if nothing's happening, you know what I mean? You can't keep doing the same things if you're getting the same result and it's not a good result. You need to try something different. And so Peter, God was giving him this message for a special reason, and I think for us today it's a very special message too. Last week we left Peter on the beach having breakfast with Jesus, and now we pick him up quite a while later, and he has become somewhat of a driving force behind the spread of the gospel. And we see, though, that in this reading today that Peter is being taken to task because he was associating with outsiders. He was eating what was prohibited and ruining the good name of the Jews. At least that's what they thought. So Peter, when he was basically called to give account. Okay, what have you been doing, Peter? Why are you going and rubbing shoulders with these Gentiles, and why are you eating with them? It's just, you know, it's just not right. So Peter said, well, I'm going to explain what happened. And he takes them through the vision that he had, and he takes them through going to the house of Cornelius, is the name of the person if you read the previous chapter. And Cornelius's whole family was saved and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And Peter was amazed that the Spirit fell on these outsiders just as it had on them. But he'd remembered Jesus' words when Jesus had said, John will baptize with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Peter went on to say to the Jewish believers that God has given this gift to us and he's now given it to the Gentiles. And who am I to question what God wants? Unfortunately, all too often, as I said last week, we sometimes put God in a box that fits our view of the world and our view of what Christianity is. Sometimes we bring wrong thinking into our Christian walk. But if we want to grow into being more like Jesus, every once in a while God has to do something drastic to help us change our thinking. And this is what was happening here. It was pretty drastic, all those animals being in that sheet. When you think about the Jewish people, they were very strict in what they ate. It was a very important thing for them. And they had to prepare things in a certain way. They weren't allowed to eat certain things. So this vision was very different, very confronting for Peter. Jesus had clearly told the apostles to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every nation. But in their centuries-old Jewish way of thinking, the disciples thought that Jesus meant for them to go and preach to the Jews who were scattered all over the world. The thought of preaching the gospel to pagan Gentiles and of those Gentiles coming to salvation without first becoming religious Jews was pretty unthinkable. You know, they have to meet all the standards, otherwise, no, they don't belong. That's not true. It was against Jewish laws for Jews to associate with or even visit the home of one who wasn't a Jew. And as I said before, diet was a distinctive aspect of Jewish practice. They had to eat kosher animals, the ones that were fitting or correct. No wonder this vision was very puzzling for Peter. And the first thing he said was, no, I can't do that, Lord. I've never eaten anything that's not that part of our law. But God had to change the thinking of Peter and the Jewish Christians on this matter, because if he didn't, the gospel wouldn't be able to be spread. For 2,000 years, the nation of Israel had been God's chosen people, and now all the nations are on equal standing with God because of the cross of Jesus. Amen. That concept to the early Jews, Jewish Christians, was nothing short of revolutionary. Amen. These Jews needed to see that salvation was not a matter of adopting Jewish rituals, but rather of God saving people of every race through faith in Christ alone. God showed Peter that he should never view anyone as inferior or ritually unclean. Salvation through Jesus is available for all. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God doesn't show any favoritism. Every tribe and tongue and people and nation who come in faith and repentance to Christ become part of God's kingdom. Amen. Every tribe and tongue and people and nation can become part of God's kingdom. Unfortunately, we bring wrong theological views into our Christian experience. We pick them up along the way from different teaching, from different things. But as we begin to absorb and understand the truths of God's word, as Anthony said, as we begin to get more and more into God's word, our minds should be transformed. Old patterns of behavior and thinking should be radically challenged. And we should become aware that change is essential. Some people say, oh, I don't like change. But you know, change is essential. We cannot stay the same. We need to change. The world changes. We need to change. Often, though, unfortunately, we choose not to listen to that knocking of God. Hey. Often we're just because we're comfortable and often stubborn in what we think. You know, my mum told me that I couldn't wear jeans. You know why she told me I couldn't wear jeans? Because they were something of the devil. That's what my mum believed. So you'll see now that I probably wear jeans more than I've ever worn them. But I wasn't allowed to wear jeans. And I remember my mum and dad having this discussion at the table after church one day saying, my mum or dad said to what the other one, did you see the way so-and-so was dressed at church this morning? They had jeans on. That's just so disrespectful, and they didn't even have proper shoes. God bless my mum and dad, but the thinking needed to change. And when I went to Alice Springs, I was talking to Anthony a little bit about this the other day, when I went to Alice Springs, I was a fairly conservative Christian, as you can tell, coming from a background where I wasn't allowed to wear jeans. I was fairly conservative, although God used to often, in my mind, I used to think, why? Why? I went to Alice Springs and we started an Indigenous ministry, which we were all very, not really, didn't really know what we were doing. We just decided that that's what we needed to do. And it became an amazing ministry. You know, I used to stand up and preach, no shoes on, all those things, jeans, all those kind of things. that was the way it was. But it would just change my whole idea of what God is and how he accepts us and loves us just the way we are. And I remember I used to be brought to tears often by those people who used to come in, often from the river. But gosh, they had a love for God that I didn't understand and I needed to know more about. They changed my thinking. God did something drastic. Took me to Alice Springs for 4 years to change the way I think and to change what I believe. And I'm hoping that all of us can get this message this morning. You know, church members, we're notorious for saying, we've never done it that way before. We've always done it this way and we have to do it this way. Well, let me tell you that the test of any method or way of thinking must be God's word, properly applied, properly interpreted and properly applied. We need to allow God's word to confront our wrong thinking so that we can grow in Christ and be more usable in his purpose for sharing the good news and being the light of Christ to the world. We need to get rid of the wrong thinking, the wrong thoughts, those things that would pull us down, and start thinking the way God wants us to think. The Jews that called Peter to account that day were more concerned about Peter violating kosher laws than they were happy about the Gentiles getting saved. Can you believe that? They were more worried about the laws were broken than that people were being saved. You know, we can elevate certain traditions or ways of doing things above salvation of souls, and that's sad. Our main focus should be salvation of others. As a church, we should be thinking of ways that we can reach across cultural barriers and see people from different races and cultural backgrounds coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, we should be able to see people of different backgrounds and cultures sitting next to each other in church, embracing diversity and celebrating their unity in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, if Peter had stuck to his initial protest of, no, Lord, I can't do that, he wouldn't have gone to Cornelius' household and God wouldn't be able to use him. His mind and his thinking had to be changed. And the Spirit said to him, no, you need to go with these people. He listened and he obeyed. If we want God to use us, we must let him challenge us, listen to his voice, and be obedient to it. Let's remember that it was while Peter was praying that God gave him this vision. What happened if he said, oh, I'm too tired tonight, I'm not going to pray? What would have happened? He wouldn't have got the message, this important message. Maybe we wouldn't be here today. He might have missed what God wanted to do. So we need to spend time in prayer because that's where God talks to us. The Lord has to do drastic things sometimes. And sometimes when we don't feel comfortable, that's when we need to think, what is God trying to say to me in this situation? When we feel outside of our comfort zone, we need to realize that the Lord is trying to say something to us. We need to listen to him and trust him. It's interesting that the Lord had to repeat the vision 3 times for Peter. Seems something about Peter in 3 times. But 3 times, because sometimes we need to hear it, not just once. We need to keep hearing it. We need to be challenged a number of times before we can change. Has God been challenging you in a particular area? Is he challenging us as a church? That's what I'm asking this morning. Is he challenging us as a church to step out in a different and new way? Are you listening? Are we listening? That's my question. Lasting change. Change that lasts. It has to take place in the mind. Remember, the transforming of the mind. And we must be convinced that the new way of thinking is in line with Scripture. Peter just didn't walk in and say to those people in that room, no, we're changing. This is all changed. That's it. We're just doing it this way. He didn't say that. because he needed them to see it through Scripture. He needed them to understand it. So he took them through the process of what had happened. And remember, he said the words. He remembered Jesus' words. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he saw it and he realized that if it was going to happen to the Gentiles, then that's God's will. And who am I to question God? Change comes as our thinking changes through God's word. So we need to pray and we need to be in God's word. Change is not demanded or forced, because then it can be resisted. Change needs to come through looking at God's word, through working through these things together. From all of this, I think there's a basic lesson that we need to learn. And sometimes we're a bit slow in our learning. I am not the Lord of the church. Jesus is. This is not my church. It's his church. He is in charge and he can do as he pleases and he doesn't even need to consult with me. It's his church. I need to be aware of that and to listen to that, because if we're not careful, we can end up standing in God's way. And we don't want to do that, do we? I just pray that God's purpose will be always forefront in this place and in our minds, and that we will be open to hear and to listen and to change. We want to see people of every nation and understanding coming. We don't care what they look like. We don't care how they're dressed. We don't care what they've done. We want them to come and understand that God loves them and that in God they can be so much more than what they ever imagined. Isn't that what we want? That's what I want. And I know that's what God wants. Remember, it's his church. Let's listen to him as we read and study his word. God's purpose is to be glorified as his people reach out to those from every people group with the good news of his saving grace. May we reach out to all with the good news of God's saving grace in the way that God wants us to do it. I pray that this morning that you will really ponder these things and think more about them.